This morning's public read of God's Word is 1 Samuel chapter 27, as we continue to make tracks in this particular book of 1 Samuel. And I imagine for some, if you've journeyed along, maybe this is the first time you've ever opened this particular book. Maybe you're a little bit scared. Maybe you're gun-shy of reading the Old Testament. You get all those lists of genealogies. You ought not to think that way. If you feel the genealogies are a hindrance or a distraction, I would say for the time being, lay them aside and then get back into the meat of what you're reading. And then as you get a little bit more mature, and maybe you read up a few books about the necessity of the genealogies as they're recorded in the Bible, you won't be fearful next time, and maybe you can plow through them. One way that we do it in our own family devotions is we have a disc with the Old and the New Testament read by a person with a beautiful voice. And so we simply put that disc in the player and follow along with our ears as well as our eyes, because this particular program has a copy of the Bible on the TV screen, and as the person reads, the screen changes as you follow along with your eyes as well as with your ears. So, can I give you a word of encouragement? Don't be afraid of the Old Testament. Don't shy from it. And don't be afraid of the genealogies. 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 to 12. David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." I thought they patched things up. in chapter 26, remember chapter 26, verse 25? Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also thou shalt still prevail." So David, notice, went his way. Saul went the other way. And what did I say last week? David still had a bad taste. And here it is. David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." And David arose, and he passed over with him 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. So notice, he's still got the 600 men. So, thankfully, no one has died. Or if they did, somebody has enlisted. But he got his 600 men. And notice, he's going to fall to the hands of the Philistines, the avowed enemy of God's people. And Gath, that's the home of Goliath, the giant that he slew earlier in our reading in 1 Samuel. He's going to the enemy in order to hide from Saul. Man, all day, that would be like a Jew hiding in the middle of a German army for their safety back in 1941 to 45. Or an American soldier that got bombed out of a plane trying to hide in a Japanese neighborhood during World War II. Verse 3. David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. Even David with his two wives, Ahinoam in the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. So notice, these guys brought their families, their wives, and their kiddos. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. Now that's key. Apparently Saul knew that if he was going to go after David and go into Philistine country, he might not be able to have the manpower to deal with the Philistines, let alone with David. And David said unto Achish, "If I have found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I might dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" David says, "Can you give me a patch versus me living with you in the royal city? Do you got a suburb? You got a hole somewhere?" Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, whereof Ziklag pertained unto the kings of Judah unto this day. So that meant that later on, this particular city was kept in the hands of God's people. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year, and 4 months. So there's a timeline. David and his men went up and invaded the Girgashites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. So that would be further south on the map that we had in the last hour. David smote the land, left neither man nor woman alive, took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Achish said, whither have you made a road today? David, where have you been? David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jeshurunites, and against the south of the Kenites. David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath. So David really wanted to keep his standing with the Philistines. So he did a little bit of marauding, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. Achish believed David, saying, he had made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. Please be seated. May God choose to bless his word. So that's all of 1 Samuel chapter 27. We're going to entitle this, David Lives with the Enemies, unless others can come up with a different one and we can change it. Well, what do we find? What do we find, beloved? Well, I think we found a whole lot. Number one, chapter 26 ends with David and the king, King Saul, departing in two separate directions. Notice, David did not go back to his hometown. He just couldn't trust Saul. And in any relationship that mankind has developed since the Garden of Eden until now, one key ingredient that will always destroy any relationship is a breach of trust. A breach of trust. Another word I can use is a breach of loyalty. Loyalty. A breach of integrity. See, today we live in a culture that knows neither one of these three. Couples today can fall in love and fall outside of love. Marriages can hit the rocks. One act of indiscretion, bingo. Hurt, pain, divorce. Long-standing friendships can end lickety-split. Trust, loyalty, integrity. David knew Saul had neither one of them. So, I love the statement. David said in his heart, so apparently he didn't verbalize it too loud, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And then he says, the only thing that I can do, the only recourse at my disposal, is to seek shelter with the Philistines, who were the avowed enemy of God's people. My word. And then the city of Gath and Goliath go together. David killed Goliath. And then notice in verses 2, it was not simply David, but David and his 600 men. And then in verse 3, not only David and the 600 men, but every man in his household, to include two of David's wives. And then when the email was sent to King Saul that David was now hiding amongst the Philistines, what are we told in verse 4? And Saul sought no more again for him. That was it. Saul knew that if he tried to invade the Philistines, he would be no match. And then, in Saul's thinking, if I do invade to get him, what if David teams up with the Philistines? Now the odds are way against me. He got those 600 sharp men. Well, David didn't feel too comfortable in verses 5 in staying in the royal city. That would be like someone living in Washington, D.C. Can you find me maybe a little suburb somewhere in Maryland or maybe somewhere in the hills of Virginia? Versus living right next door to the White House or right next door to Congress. Can you give me a patch out there in the wilderness of southern Maryland, maybe southern Pennsylvania, maybe up there in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia? Well, Achish gives him Ziklag. And apparently, the kings of Judah held on to that city for quite some time. And then David begins to go out there on this marauding. These enemies of God's people that are still around, some of these ites. And it seems that he does this on purpose to keep his relationship with the Philistines. Because in verse 12, Achish says the following. Achish believed what David said in verse 11. Took him at his word. He had made his people Israel utterly to abhor David, to despise him. Now he's going to be the next king, and he's going to rule for 40 years, and he's going to do great exploits. He's going to leave behind to his son all the raw material, prefabbed and pre-cut, to build the first temple. But at this point, Achish says, hey, it's not bad having David as a next door neighbor. He has made his own people to despise him. And Achish thinks, I got David in my corner. He will be my servant forever. So, we can learn one lesson here. And again, God's hand is over David all this time. But here's one lesson. You better be very careful how you align yourself with the Achishes of this world. See, David thought he was, you know, trying to keep his standing pretty cool with the Philistines. Achish interpreted a whole different way. You're my boy. You're my lapdog. You're my servant. And so, beloved, may I caution all of us, be very careful whom you make friends with and why. May God choose to bless his word. Amen.